Chapter 18. Saturday, 11:32 p.m. Guardino drove. She was a good driver, no complaints there. Burroughs appreciated the way she steered the big SUV through the South Side Saturday night uncaring and unyielding traffic. She wasn't impatient, merely focused, looking ahead and anticipating openings in the flow, slipstreaming into them. At one point, she turned on the red and blue wigwags concealed behind the grill, then shut them off again once the snarl of congestion was past. No fuss, no muss, just getting the job done. He decided that was what attracted him most. Of course, there was also the physical thing. Most women donning Kevlar looked squat, bulky, as if the layers of protection turned them into squared-off blobs. Not Guardino. Even beneath the bulletproof vest, she gave off a vibe that was all woman. Maybe it was the spread of her hips, or the glint of Amazon warrior steel her eyes took on when the body armor came out. Whatever it was making it hard to keep riding with her. Not without thinking the kind of thoughts a cop shouldn't be thinking about another cop, much less a Phoebe. Needing distraction, he flipped open his phone. Found a text that didn't help matters any. Damn her. He told her he never wanted to see her again, but she was one of those women who didn't have the word no in her vocabulary. "I want to see you tonight," she had texted him. "I want you to F me till I scream." He tapped out a reply. "No, can't." She wrote back. "Yes, you can. Stuck-up bitch won't give you what you need. Not like I can." He tried again. "No." Her reply? "Yes. I know what you want. I can make it happen. Tonight." He flipped the phone shut. Saw Guardino glance at him. "Donkey Kong." He lied. "It relaxes me. I could download it to your phone if you'd like to play." She waited a little too long before replying. He had the feeling she knew he was offering more than a retro vid game. Had the feeling she knew exactly what kind of fantasies had been tantalizing him ever since he first saw her striding up the road at the Vic's house, plowing through the uniformed cops faster than a bum through a bologna sandwich. That's how it always was for him. Same as with Kim and all the women before and after her. Lust at first sight. There was just a type of woman who crawled under his skin and set up shop there, teasing his nerve endings, tugging at his attention until he couldn't think of anything else. Lucy Guardino was one of those women. "I don't play games," she replied in a neutral but firm tone. He shifted in his seat, putting his cell phone away. He got her message, loud and clear. Jeez it, it was gonna be a long night. "I got him!" Lucy jumped as Taylor's excited voice shrieked through the radio. "I used the GIS program to eliminate..." "The name, Taylor." A yawn forced its way past her clenched teeth, and she didn't bother to cover it. "Oh, yeah, sorry. The apartment they're in is leased to Delroy Littles. It's on the second floor of the 5514 building. Apartment 2D. Littles."
"I know that name," Burroughs said, even as he was dialing his phone. "Friend of mine in narcotics has been looking for him."
"Makes sense. He's had several arrests, only 2 convictions, both for possession with intent to sell. First one for marijuana, second for methamphetamine."
Taylor paused.
"Never found with a weapon. Does have 1 TRO from a girlfriend alleging abuse, though. Still on parole from that last conviction. Nothing outstanding."
Burroughs snapped his phone shut. "Narcotics thinks Delroy might be working with a big fish in the meth trade. They've been hoping to pop Delroy on a parole violation and turn him."
They were still several blocks away from Broad Street, if Lucy remembered the map correctly, which meant she needed a plan, fast. "We send Pittsburgh SWAT in hot and heavy, scare the crap out of Delroy and the girl in there with him. If the girl is Ashley, then we're good to go. If not, the extra firepower should help convince Delroy this is no ordinary parole violation, enough so maybe he'll talk to us about Ashley and give the narcotics guys what they need." She paused.
Anyone got any better ideas?
Sounds good to me, Burroughs said.
The SWAT guys love any chance to make a noise.
If it isn't Ashley,
Walden's thoughtful voice sounded over the speaker,
we could take Delroy back to the federal building. Might add to the intimidation factor.
Burroughs chuckled.
Hell yeah. If Delroy thinks this is a federal beef, he'll shit his pants.
And be oh so very grateful when we kick him loose to your narcotic squad instead.
Lucy nodded.
I like it.
12 minutes later, she, Burroughs, and the Pittsburgh SWAT team leader, a guy by the name of Erickson, were huddled over a layout of the apartment building.
Go in loud, but we need to minimize property damage, and for God's sake, no shooting unless necessary, Lucy said,
a little nervous that she wasn't dealing with the elite FBI hostage rescue team. But Erickson seemed to understand the situation and was willing to play by her rules.
My men know there's a civilian on the premises, he told her. We'll neutralize all threats with minimal necessary force.
The stabbing in her left ear returned, her jaw clamping tight as she watched Erickson lead his men inside the building. She was grinding her teeth again. She forced herself to yawn, feeling the pop in her jaw and ear. Damn, she hated watching, waiting. A few moments later, the apartment's windows were lit up by an explosion of light and sound, a flashbang grenade used to stun the occupants. Even from street level, Lucy could hear pounding footsteps and men yelling, "Police! Down! Down! Down!" She ran across the street and started up the steps. Burroughs followed close on her heels. By the time she reached the top, the radio was broadcasting the all-clear. She entered the room, still filled with hazy smoke, to find the black-clad, helmeted and masked SWAT officers straddling two civilians who lay face down, coughing. Lucy crouched down beside the woman as Erickson restrained her arms with a flex cuff, and another cop patted her down. It wasn't Ashley. She saw right away.
Gun!
The cop frisking the woman called out, drawing everyone's attention.
Hell, that's not mine!
Delroy shouted.
I don't know nothing about no gun, honest.
The cop pulled a .38 Smith & Wesson from the woman's boot and handed it off. A few minutes later, after finding no more weapons, they hauled the man and the woman to their feet. Find the cell phone? Lucy asked. Sitting on the table. Still on. We'll need to bag and tag it. Taylor and Walden appeared in the doorway, and she nodded to them to take care of the documentation. See if there's any evidence Ashley's been here.
You got it, LT,
Taylor sang out, his eyes lit up brighter than the flashbang. Walden trailed after the younger agent, shaking his head, looking a tad embarrassed by Taylor's exuberance. Lucy turned her attention to Delroy and his lady friend.
I've heard a lot about you, Mr. Littles, she started, scrutinizing him like he was an item displayed on eBay and the auction was heating up.
Look!
He craned his head forward, so anxious that spittle accompanied his words.
I don't know nothing about that gun. You can't hang me on that. I've been clean ever since I got out. You ain't gonna find nothing.
One call to your PO and I'll find something on a drug test, Lucy continued, stepping closer, violating his space and pitching her voice to a most intimate level.
Won't I, Mr. Littles? It wasn't a bluff. He reeked of garlic and ammonia, that weird stench meth addicts exuded. He wasn't totally high, but he'd used recently.
Please, lady, you can't do that. Don't call Havelock. The guy's got a hard-on for me. He'll send me back so fast, and I ain't done nothing wrong. Please, can't we work this out?
She smiled sweetly and stepped back. Maybe. Depends how cooperative you and your friend are. She nodded to Burroughs. Go ahead. Take him in. I'll meet you at the federal building. Delroy gagged as he tried to find the right words.
Federal? I ain't done nothing federal. Hey, can't we talk this out? I'm clean. I tell you, you can't do this. I got rights, you know?
Lucy smiled as two SWAT officers started to drag him out. Stopping them just as they reached the remnants of the front door, she said,
Go ahead
and let him wait here. She gestured for them to place Delroy on one of the kitchen chairs.
If you're straight with me, Mr. Littles,
Maybe we can avoid the trip down to Carson Street. I told you, I ain't done nothing wrong.
He gave the last word a twang, drawing it out to two syllables. So, of course, I'll cooperate.
Lucy stood in front of him, forcing him to stretch his head back to make eye contact.
Since you're in custody, I need to explain your rights to you, Mr. Littles.
She gave him the Miranda warning.
Do you want a lawyer? If you do, please tell him that you're being charged with first-degree murder, attempted murder, kidnapping, felony sexual assault, gross sexual imposition, sexual assault of a minor, assault and battery, and terroristic threats.
His eyes bugged out at her litany of charges. He opened his mouth, licked his lips, debating his options, then closed it again. Lucy let the silence lengthen.
If you are convicted of any of those charges, given your record, you're facing life in prison.
She added salt to the wound.
If you are convicted of homicide, you're facing a death sentence.
She leaned forward, her face a few inches away from his, close enough to smell the fear oozing from his pores.
So tell me, Delroy, would you like your lawyer?
I ain't done none of those things. Just tell me what you want, lady. I'll play it straight.
I want to know where you got this cell phone.
She dangled the evidence bag containing Ashley's phone before him.
I found it.
Lucy raised a skeptical eyebrow.
No, really, I did. Someone left it at the bus stop on Liberty Avenue. I found it yesterday.
Did you make any calls from it?
Yeah, but only two. See, I didn't have no charger and the battery was low, so I took a look and found these nasty pictures of a girl. Figured maybe the owner was a married guy or something so I could shake him loose a few bucks. A finder's fee, you know?
Go on.
So I called the last dialed number, figured that'd be his home. Only this lady answers. Freaked me out and I hung up. Then tonight, me and Hildy were just goofing around and we called the lady back, just to mess with her, you know? Didn't mean nothing by it.
Lucy straightened, crossing her arms over her chest. Delroy squirmed, his gaze locked onto hers as he pleaded.
Honest, we was just fooling. Ask Hildy, she'll tell you. Look, there's nothing federal about it. You got the wrong man.
No, Delroy, you got the wrong phone. This phone belongs to a little girl who was kidnapped.
His face fell.
Aw, shit! You're kidding me.
Wish I was.
Now I'm going to check out your story and do my best to keep you out of federal penitentiary. But the only way you can strengthen your case is to give the Pittsburgh police your full cooperation. Can I count on you for that?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Whatever you say, I'll do it. I will.
The words gushed out as his eyes widened with fervor. I'm going to let these fine gentlemen take you into custody. But if I hear you haven't cooperated with them...
She scowled, letting her threat sink in before gesturing to the SWAT guys to haul him away.
Delroy went eagerly, already jabbering to his escorts.
Lucy picked her way through the detritus that covered the floor and went into the bedroom where Taylor and Walden were finishing their search.
Anything?
Some drug paraphernalia, a few pieces of women's clothing, but nothing that matches what Ashley was wearing. Walden answered.
No signs of anyone being held against their will.
No computers, Taylor said with a disappointed frown. Nothing but Ashley's phone and a track phone that was in the woman's purse.
Burroughs returned.
What about the woman?
He nodded to the other room where two more SWAT guys were watching Delroy's lady friend spout off tirades of highly explicit and imaginative expletives.
You want her?
Lucy considered. With the Delroys being a parolee, she had a little legal standing. Tenuous, but it was there. She didn't have any standing with Delroy's friend.
We have an idea on her?
Yeah.
Hildy Figueroa, age 22, no wants, no warrants. From the looks of her, she's been popping heroin and meth. She's pretty strung out now. It's hard to get anything coherent out of her.
Why don't you have PBP take her in on the weapons charge? Give her time to sober up?
Then, if I need her, we'll know where to find her.
Sure. She won't get bail until Monday, so there's time.
He went to make arrangements. Lucy strolled around the room, admiring the architecture with its high ceilings and ornate woodwork. Trying her best to ignore the urge to scream. Wasting time. That's all they'd accomplished. Wasting Ashley's time. For the first time since this morning, Lucy allowed herself to add, if Ashley was still alive. She yawned, stretched her jaw until her ear popped, relieving the stabbing pain that spiked down her neck. Rocking back and forth on her feet as she looked out the naked window from her position beside the sex-soaked, unmade bed, her shoe kicking a meth pipe aside. Her wedding ring caught the light from the lone, bare bedside lamp and flared in a rich red gold. The only pure thing in this place.
"You want anything else here, boss?" Walden asked.
Lucy shook off her reverie, turned her back on the darkness beyond the window, and rolled her shoulders, shrugging the Kevlar's weight into a less uncomfortable position.
"No. Let's go."
Ever since she could remember, Ashley had fought hard to avoid straying too far. Her parents would accuse her of being flighty or daydreaming and would chide her for going away. Going away. That's what it was. A helium balloon taking flight, drifting into the heavens, finding new places, new people, a new life. When she was younger, a mere word would snap her back to the here and now. Then she learned to do it herself. A pinch on the back of her arm would suffice. But soon that wasn't enough to reconnect her, and instead she'd scratch herself. That evolved into writing. She'd scrape hidden words into her skin, words she wasn't even supposed to know, words she wasn't certain described her or others. Fuck, shit, slut, asshole, bitch. When that stopped working, she learned the power of blood. First a needle, a mere pinprick on the tip of a finger. As she concentrated on the crimson drop of blood, the sting of pain, she'd be able to convince herself that she could feel, that she wasn't totally empty inside, that she belonged here in this world. She saw a girl in her class slice herself with her thumbnail, and Ashley soon followed in her footsteps, experimenting with many sharp objects and techniques. If she cut too deep, there was too much blood. It would stream out, make an unsavory mess, and draw attention. Too shallow, and there wasn't any blood. And at this point in her addiction, she needed blood. Blood and pain were her bridges back to reality. Until now. Now she lay curled around a metal pole, sweltering in air so heavy she had to gulp it down in quick bites, the stench of terror and death smothering her, her legs dead except for the occasional pins and needles. Darkness all around her, seeping into her veins, seizing her heart. She had begun this journey eager, ready to escape, to a new life, to new hope. Hope. It was an obscenity in this new world she found herself in. Far better to simply leave, let herself go, than to waste energy on hope. She stared into darkness so complete she couldn't tell if her eyes were open or closed. She didn't blink to try to find out. She was already gone.